The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Well, the good the Wallace didn't get herself ejected in the state final for some dumb stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't want to say I dreaded showing up to this football game on Friday night, but...
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Mike, if you want to talk, you have to talk into the microphone. There we go. Mic to mic.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Bird's Eye View here, Pittsfield Community Radio 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield 88.1 WSBR Lee. Jesse, Mike here. No, Hank is Pank is for the second week in a row. Rare occurrence. Parents being in town helps with that. It was an irritating day for me yesterday. Just a day where all... So, the building was like, the maintenance guy is going to come from 8 to noon.
Jeez.
Somewhere between 8 and noon, which is like, all right, well...
You got to move at this point.
That's a...
this is a weekly occurrence here.
That's a
weekly segment segment on Bird's Eye View.
yeah. Time frame. And then he didn't show up. So I text them, like, 12:15, like, he's not here. And so they're like, no, he's just running late. So anyway, it's 3:40 when he gets there. So I just wasted, like, the entire day. Or the day that I get. Could not go to the gym because I'm stuck. So I should have known better. I know they're always super late. I should have just gone to the gym and then dealt with whatever happened. Because they're like, we're going to be there to fix the thing on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, I'm going to the gym. I don't care if they don't get to beat, like, they're not trustworthy. It was just like, all right, this is just very, very irritating. Like they're the level of just like incompetence of like not being, because the issue is that they're all in Springfield. It's just been a time. But yes, welcome back.
And then you went to a basketball game at night and
in Pittsfield no show.
And another
Pittsfield no show.
Another notch in there's tough day belt.
It's a perfect way to start it. I saw excuse me, folks. So it is the beginning of the MIAA state tournaments. We had some action last night. Greylock girls, McCann girls moved on.
All prelim,
basketball. Yep. These are all preliminary round games. McCann boys lost in the prelims on the road. And the Pittsfield boys were hosting Medway. Pittsfield number 28, Medway number 37 in the Division III state tournament. Pittsfield coming off a loss in the Western Mass final to SciTech. The winner is actually going to face SciTech, which is the 5 seed. And Pittsfield just, I remarked to somebody in the third quarter, I said, man, if Pittsfield had actually been on the court in the first half, they might be in this game.
reading your story, it was a while. Yeah, they hit two field goals in the first quarter?
They hit two field goals in the first half.
First half.
Both were in the first quarter. They did not score a field goal in the third quarter. They did not score a field goal in the second quarter.
Okay, I was going to say.
And it was 3 minutes in before they got a point, and it was...
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, it was just like... Yeah, they weren't there. And this, like, Medway is not a good team. I want to make that very clear. Medway earned its, 37th seed, all right? Like, it's not good. And it was... And Pittsfield just played worse. And it's, like, a very sad thing to say, but that's the truth. And if Pittsfield had bothered to show up in the first half, they would have won by 15. And they didn't. And the fact that Medway wasn't very good and Pittsfield was sort of playing defense is why they were only down 8 at halftime. And they quickly got down 13 in the third. And I'll give them credit. They had some real energy in the third, and they made a big run. And Quincy Abley had some nice plays. And Noah Cain-Smalls hit a three. And then Sam Ture had like this insane... physical inside layup off an inbounds pass, and then they, Medway's trying to hold for the last shot with 17 seconds left in the third, and their shot isn't great. Pittsfield gets it out to Braden Sullivan in transition. He scores on the fast break, and they're only down 38-37, and the gym's very, very happy, and they're fired up, and you can see it, and they score to start the fourth quarter, and they're up 39-38, and you blink, and Medway scores, and that's that. and then where he takes the lead. They held the lead for about 15 seconds. And the part of the issue was, like, they came out fiery in the third quarter, and so did Medway, because Medway's on the road, and you're leading the team that's at home, and now you got some juice, and you're feeling it a little bit. And Medway also, so the first half, Pittsfield, like, just could not get a good foul call. And in the third quarter, the refs overcorrected, and so the Pittsfield got every single foul call, and so a bunch of Medway starters got in foul trouble. And then the fourth quarter was, like, the final, like, even, they got it right. And so then the Medway starters came back in the game, and Pittsfield lost. And so, yeah, it's just like, and I put this in the start of my story, which is like, this is who, and I'm expanding on it here, but like, this is who Pittsfield has been, right? Like, this was a team that could have won the Berkshire League, had multiple instances to do so, and they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a team that barely made it past the quarterfinal round in Western Mass, and then they did beat up Taconic, and they lost by 18 in the Western Mass final. And now they're here, they are at home in states in the preliminary round, which only the second time they've ever been in the preliminary round, first time under Jerome Edgerton, and they lost. They lost at home, and it's tough. It was just not a good performance from kind of an odd year for PHS. And I, you know, I talked to Jerome Edgerton after the game, and he said, and we came out flat. Like, I thought, you know, he said he thought the preparation was more or less normal. That just, yeah, like, we came out lackadaisical, and you can't do that in this kind of an atmosphere, in this kind of a game. And he also said, you know, like, I'm 4 years in, I'm still kind of new into my coaching tenure. And he said, it seems like he wants to do a lot of reflection on what happened this year, and maybe this year was a new learning experience for him. Just I don't know if necessarily like play, team dynamics, all that kind of stuff. And so he said, you know, I promise we're going to be much better next year. And so yeah, it's, you know, it'll be just interesting to see where they've been, and you know, I don't want to be mean, but just like. This feels like the least talented PHS team they've had, just like in terms of, you know,
the Jerome is in the Edgerton,
in the Edgerton era, like, you know, they certainly have probably
fair. Like, they,
3 years
ago, they were a Final Four team and a high seed. And like, the year before, like, that, all those guys were still technically there. They just hadn't fully developed yet.
Yeah, like, I remember my first year, you had Carter Mungin, who is, like, you know, best or second best center in the county. And, yeah, you had Makai Shepherdson and Nunu Brown. And, yeah, the next year, you had those two guys who both put up, like, 350, 400 points. You had Malachi Perry, who was first team All-Berkshire, putting up 400 points. Duncan. And then last year, you still had, like, Kyle Cardoso and Freddie Conyers. And yeah, now, you know, like, they certainly have some good players, and I think Quincy Abley could actually be very, very good next year when he's a senior. But it's like they just don't have enough.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess you can't say they underachieved.
No, I think this team,
given what we thought of them in the preseason, coming in, you know, to have a shot at the Berkshire League, to beat Drury twice, to make another Western Mass final, they kind of did all that. And yeah, it's just this state tournament, being on the road is certainly a massive challenge. Medway had to travel a long way. The teams, Greylock and McCann, had to play last night. Every team that's coming to the Berkshires this weekend is going to have to travel a long way. But as the home team, it is incumbent on you to take care of business early, because while being on the road is challenging, being on the road can be like invigorating. If you find yourself in a game, all of a sudden it's us against the world, and you're looking forward to, this is going to be a raucous, awesome bus ride home once we ruin this team's night here.
Well,
let them do that.
You know, I was checking NFHS, and it's like the Greylock girls are up 33-17 in the third or fourth quarter. It's like, okay,
they hit a 32-point lead at one point,
right. And so this is taking care of business early. Mm-hmm. Like, we are going to dominate you on the scoreboard. We are going to completely control this game. And it's not going to matter. And so, you know, the final score was like 59-46. And the reality is, it was only that close because they took out all their starters. And then, and you know, David Prouty went on a run in the fourth quarter when the game was out of hand. But, yeah, it was, you know, yeah, that is, to Mike's point, like, just taking care of business early, putting your foot down. And yeah, Greylock, I mean, I believe this is their first win in the state tournament ever.
Certainly for this iteration. It sounded like they made it in 22, but...
I believe they lost to Carver.
So yeah, the both of them, I think. I mean, McCann, obviously, I don't believe has made any kind of state tournament. This is kind of completely new ground for McCann Tech to win, you know, double digit basketball games and have a home game in states. So yeah, North County kind of showed out for girls basketball last night, which was fun. Both have kind of tough draws moving forward.
Yes.
Greylock girls actually go again tonight at South Hadley, who obviously beat Pittsfield in the Western Mass final and is, I want to say, made like three of the last four state finals, something like that.
They have made back-to-back D4 state finals.
Yeah, so tough draw for them to go back-to-back. But at the same time, very promising for a team, bulk of which is younger, sophomore class. So it's what we wanted to see from the Greylock girls. Like,
who's McCann going? Douglas?
They head to number three, Douglas.
Douglas. Yep.
Yeah, I believe they both go to number three.
Yes, yeah, I know Greylock.
They were both 30 seeds.
Also, should say McCann hockey, just like really tough loss on the road. Gave number 14 Medway a game. McCann was 19. They lost 7-5. They were down 3-1 in at the end of the first period. They tied it up. They were down 5-3 going into the third period. Dallas Richard scores a solo goal. Hayden Bonus scores a solo goal. Tie 5-5, 7 minutes of scoreless hockey, and then Medway got quick two goals, and they won 7-5. McCann had a lot of shots that just kind of didn't bounce their way. I mean, I think it was, I believe McCann actually outshot Medway 34-31, but it was still just like very, very close in terms of shots on goal. And yeah, so a tough end for what's been the best season McCann's ever had, certainly the best season that a North County hockey team has had in a very long time. Western Mass finalist, state small school Volk champion, and then, I mean, no Berkshire team has won in states, but this is also, I believe, actually the first time that a Berkshire team has made it like past the preliminary round. The last few years, Taconic has always been in the prelims, and they've kind of had some tough losses there, like really close. And so this is straight into the round of 32, and McCann, unfortunately, took the loss, but once again, a very, very close loss to Medway. And that's also a game where you're like, well, if this is a North Adams, maybe McCann is able to pull it off.
Yeah,
And I should also say Dallas Richard just... 138 career points. Had four goals in the game. Was just doing everything he could to make sure his senior season was as long as possible.
He is he was noticeably like the most passionate kid on the ice at the Western Mass final last Thursday. So that was after we were here. Which was just kind of a frustrating game for McCann. They did have a lead on his really, really fancy goal. That was just a really pretty attack on a breakaway. But McCann, they opened the third quarter just kind of sleepwalking a little bit and got caught twice early. Scoreboard flipped, and suddenly they were down two. Richer fired one in from like the blue line, I want to say with about 2 minutes left. And McCann had a couple shots to tie it, send it to overtime. One of them, which with 4 seconds left, was just a really great save by the goalie sliding left to right. And yeah, it was just like devastation in the aftermath of that. Because yeah, they had been riding this crazy high that none of them had ever really experienced, perhaps in other sports, baseball, whatever. Certainly... a hockey team experiencing that level of high, it was new to all of them. And to see them kind of come out 2 days later and have to do a comeback win at home was, I think, kind of wildly, just impressive. Speaks a lot of them as people, as kids. And
they were down a couple goals to Aspen Valley in the state Volk championship, and then they came back to win that game.
Yeah, so a wild season, regardless of how it ended. I guess good to see that. I don't know what it means moving forward for hockey. It's just so hard to like gauge. Like, we've had Taconic's been in two Western Mass finals. They won one,
three
Western Mass finals. So like they're there. It's just I don't think it's growing. Like, hockey's not going to... Are we going to get a third team back? I don't think so.
If you want to get into the, the quagmire of it, I've been told that on good authority that Mount Everett would like, or certain, or people at Mount Everett would like to bring their hockey team back.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe the logistics of it all are very difficult, given that those kids have spent some years now at Taconic.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the
ice
ice time and logistics, yeah, all that. And then also, I've been told on the Taconic side that a lot of those kids actually kind of prefer playing for Taconic just because Mount Everett was always a doormat,
yeah,
in the league. And at Taconic, you're winning games. And so and the numbers are better.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, kind of, that does make it more difficult. But no, yeah, we're not gaining hockey teams anytime soon. But I do think this just helps the county in terms of, like, hey, I think it helps North County and, like, hey, Taconic is not the only good hockey program, mm-hmm, right? And it helps everyone see, hey, yeah, Berkshire County can still play hockey. So I do think it helps in that regard. I mean, yeah, like, this is outside of the season that Taconic won Western Mass. Like, this is the best season that any Berkshire team's had in a while. So, you know, we'll see what happens. McCann is going to graduate some really, really big seniors.
That's what I was trying to figure out. Like, is this just a blip?
That'll be
one special season, or does this mean, you know, we have hockey 4 years to come here?
I believe Hayden Bowen is back. Everett Bayless is back. Ben Harris, their goalie, is back. They'll have some key pieces back. Mm-hmm. You know, Richard's gone. Braden Canales is gone. Some high-level goal scorers will be gone, for sure, but some of their big offensive pieces will be back. Their goalie will be back. They should still be decent next year. I don't think they're going to go undefeated in their league, but they should still be decent next year.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, this year I think will help because Matt Parise, the coach, said, you know, it was very, very, very difficult to get games this year, non-league games. And I think it's, and in part, it was just because McCann was so bad, no one really wanted to play them and take the power rating. And now if you go out and you have this kind of season, I think it does help and show, hey, look, we're actually going to give you a game.
Yeah, you might get into a couple tournaments and whatnot.
Even
yeah.
if McCann has to travel for most of those games to Central Mass or whatever. But yeah, all right, we'll take a little break and then keep talking about playoffs when we come back. So keep it locked here on WTBR and WSBR.
PCTV Select is a great way to watch local content without having a cable subscription. You can keep up with the latest of what's going on in your community from anywhere in the world. And it's available for free right now. Watch live events in full HD on your TV, on your computer, or on the go with your mobile device. Or watch our large library of on-demand video programs anytime that's convenient for you. No more waiting until it's on TV. Did we mention it's free? PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
Underwriters are so important for keeping this station alive. Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. I'd like to thank our local businesses for supporting Pittsfield Community Radio and for believing in the mission of the station. When you hear underwriting messages on the air, you know those companies support WTBR-FM. If you're listening now and your business would like to join in and support us, call me today at 445-4234 and get involved, or visit us at WTBRFM.com. It will make all the difference.
Welcome back, folks. WTBR, WSBR, Bird's Eye View here, Jesse and Mike. We are talking some playoff basketball, some playoff hockey. Should mention the Alpine State Championships were yesterday, and we had some decent enough finishes for Berkshire County. Eliza Mullen, who was the PHS standout the last 2 years, swept slalom and grand slalom events on the girls' side. She matriculated out, so it was kind of a who's going to step up next for Berkshire County. Lennox's Oliver Kirby took fourth, if I want to say correctly, and the Lennox boys took third overall. So not a bad... not a bad time, but just not quite the dominance we see on the Nordic side.
Yeah. Certainly not nothing like we had on Nordic. But pretty, like, what I expected going in was you know, leave with a couple medals. Seeing the so Lennox had the they swept the season on the boys' side. Kirby is now a 2-time county champion for the boys. On the girls' side, Lennox's Mackenzie Valenzuela swept the season. She won all 6 races, which is kind of nuts. And she won them all by multiple seconds. Like, no, nobody was touching her. She's, like I said, an eighth grader, though. So heading into States, she was there last year as a seventh grader, finished in the mid-40s of both events. So just kind of wanted to see, like, it would have been wild if she won, if she won both races. With the competition that was out here for her, I just had no, like, no bearing of where she was going to wind up statewide, but wanted to see her obviously finish higher. And she did. She was 13th in one, 17th in the other. So you can see her kind of trending in the right direction of if she continues skiing for Lennox over the next couple of years, she's going to be in the mix for state titles. As she gets a little bigger, a little stronger. On the boys' side, yeah, so Kirby was actually runner-up in slalom last year, so he had just missed a state title. So was expecting him to medal again. He winds up fourth, got snaked by a kid. I want to say he was bib three, bib six, seven, both beat him, and then a bib 18 came kind of out of nowhere and snaked third. But the big thing for Lennox boys was they had a promising team there last year. I think two different guys suffered DNFs, and you need three skiers to score as a team in both events. So three guys have to make it down successfully. They had five guys there. All five made it down in both events, which was very impressive. They put, I want to say, three in the top 30 of slalom, which is very strong. If I can find my story here. Wind up finishing third overall. They miss. Second was Concord Carlisle by a couple seconds. So they weren't like narrowly missing it, but they were in the mix, which is kind of very impressive, I think, just for a Berkshire County team, because the teams that win this are St. John's Prep, which is, you know, probably recruiting skiers.
Yeah, sure.
Concord Kyle, yeah, bigger schools from the Boston area. So, Concord Kyle is 536.
Calling St. John's Prep Boston area is really funny. It's like Lawrence, Mass.
Lennox was 543. So they lost by seven. They lost the runner up trophy by 7 seconds. So they weren't, you know, right on the verge there, but still a very impressive finish. I believe they're all or almost all back. I want to say maybe Michael Peretti is a senior, but Kirby's still only a junior, so he's back again. Cody Lesser is an eighth grader.
I take it back. They're in St. John's Prep is Danvers. That is better. That's not quite as egregious.
There's like four different St. John's all over the place.
There's to me, St. John's is Shrewsbury. St. John's Shrewsbury, yeah.
But just, yeah, and Lincoln Sudbury, shout out, I think Evan Berkowitz went
That's
there.
That's true.
They were fourth. So
that'll give you for Boston area. That is a direct Boston.
There you go. So Oliver Kirby was fourth. Owen Tanner of Lennox was ninth. So those are the two medalists, top 10 are medalists. Cody Lesser was 30th. Michael Peretti was 49th. So four in the top 50.
What year is Michael Peretti?
I want to say he's a senior. I'm not 100%
sure
on that. There was a different
brother
as well.
In tennis,
yes.
And Michael was there. And I
want to say he might be there
once back
senior.
Then. That's fine. That's fine. Okay. How long has he been here? Okay.
And that was kind of the gist of what went down. The fun note was Medway girls won their first state title, and their coach, Jeff Rozek, grew up, went to Wakona as Wakona skier. So it was kind of fun just chatting up with him afterwards. But overall, not a bad showing for Berkshire County. 30 of the 32 runs that went down, because you have eight skiers on boys, 30
nope.
made it down successfully.
You said eight skiers on boys.
Eight skiers on boys, eight skiers on girls.
There you go.
You knew what I meant. 32 races, 30 went down successfully. Just two, I believe, were DQ'd for missing a gate or what have you. But I'd say a successful run, given the highs that we've experienced the last 2 years, a little low, but you can kind of see it coming again. Maybe.
And I believe this is the first year that Pittsfield and Ticonderoga co-op under Pittsfield. So it seemed like
Pittsfield did
much better this year overall. I mean, the girls got a Berkshire League title. And it seemed like there's just, yes.
Girls may have scored in the mix for, you know, top five, top 10. They had one, they only had three girls there and one DQ'd in one race. So they're not involved in the team standings. The co-op definitely helped. The boys was just Lennox and Pittsfield, which I don't love because, like, it just means, you know, the other schools are kind of pushed out of the All-Berkshire, pushed out of states, but it was clearly, I mean, Lennox went one, Pittsfield went two every single race this year in the boys at Bosque. So it wound up working out like that. Ruben Freed and Reese Cook-Dubin had solid races for the Pittsfield boys. Isabella Scalise was second for the girls in both races, finishing 42nd and 64th behind Valenzuela. So Pittsfield has some skiers. Yeah, shout out to Leslie Mullen. She won her first collegiate race last week up at Castleton. So she's still kind of making noise, doing big things up there as they, I believe, they ski in nationals in a week or two over at Whiteface. So, yeah, good stuff coming from Alpine. Always fun to go out to watch USIT. I grew up skiing there, but it is a hike.
Yes. And when you text me, like, it's been a 3-hour drive. And in my head, I'm like, aren't you just going to
Vermont? I didn't realize
Vermont?
It was going to snow again.
What's going on? Oh, Vermont? 3 hours. And then I read your story, and it's like, oh, got changed. So I'm like, that makes more sense.
Yeah, Berkshire East is, I prefer Berkshire East. Yes. I think the skiers do too. It's a little faster, a little more downhill. Watch these, it's pretty flat.
Yes.
But.
All right. Let's see. We got a few minutes left, so we can say, so tonight, Lennox girls basketball, they play. They host number 21 Greenfield. Lennox is 12.
This is a round of 32
game. If they win, they most likely are at number 5. Lee, their first round game, I believe, is still TBD. Mike, you can
schedule
bring
up. For Sunday,
schedule
actually.
Schedule for
yep.
Sunday.
Sunday at 2 p.m. against either Kip Academy or Atlantis.
That's what
Charter.
I meant by TBD is, and we don't know who they're playing.
Yes, but they did schedule it.
Pittsfield girls will play tomorrow. They're Swampscott pulled off the minor upset, so they're hosting Swampscott. Or no,
Tantasqua.
Tantasqua, excuse me. Tantasqua pulled off the minor upset of Swampscott. That's what it was. Tantasqua's 34, right?
Yes.
34 beat 31 Swampscott.
Yep.
Yeah. So that was the minor
upset. 6 o'clock Friday.
Wakona is having a doubleheader, boys and girls, on Saturday.
Yeah, we're going to have, I think, 3 different doubleheaders on Saturday. It's looking like Wakona, Hoosick, and Drury will all host a round of 32 doubleheaders. Some of those are scheduled. Some are still TBD on the opponents. But it's all going to be like a Drury boys are scheduled to face number 32 Salem Academy at 5 p.m. Drury girls don't know who they're playing. Wakona girls are playing Blue Hills Regional at 4 p.m. Boys are going to go at 6 against one of two teams. Hoosick, I don't believe, is hard scheduled anything yet. So most of these games, I think, all got pushed back a day. The rest of the state got 2 snow days, pretty much, because there was so much to deal with. So a lot of these preliminary games are happening tonight still.
Right.
But we should have, those 3 doubleheaders Saturday. Friday, Monument boys are at Upper Cape Cod. That's a 20-13 game. What do we have? McCantech girls are at Douglas, like we said earlier. And also tonight is the Greylock at South Hadley game.
I am interested to see how Wakona does on Saturday, just given that the girls I have far more confidence in. They beat Southwick after losing to South Hadley, and they lost South Hadley by 2 points on the road. Really gave them a game when they beat Southwick, which is a good team. Mm-hmm. And but the boys have been far more unsteady. They got a big win over Monument, but Monument without Randy Cold is dealing with all that stuff. And otherwise, kind of had a really rough end to the season. And it's just mentally, I don't know where they're at necessarily. And the fact of the matter is, when these players were sophomores, it was the first time they got real starting minutes. Mm-hmm. And they lost in the first, they were upset in the round of 32 at home in the nightcap of a doubleheader right after the girls had won a game. And that was the Pat McLaughlin year. Mm-hmm. And they lost to Joseph Gase. And the next year, so last year, when they were juniors, they kind of barely made the tournament, and they were in a prelim game and they won it, and they were on the road in the round of 32 and they got smoked. Mm-hmm. And so now this year you're the 8 seed, you're at home in the round of 32. Can you win? Cause you haven't done that yet. You know, when the team is yours. And so I'm very interested to see, where they are mentally. Can they come in with confidence and dictate kind of pace of play, and can they get enough offense, and can they score?
Yeah. You have a home path to the quarterfinals.
You have a home path to the quarterfinals for both Wakona girls and boys.
Yes,
and
girls are 5 seed. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, are they going to be able to fully take advantage of it? And that's going to be a huge question mark because, the Wakona boys, like, just, I don't know where their head's at. Can they stay ready? Can they stay ready for this game and come out, you know, with juice? And for the girls, it's, I think, you know, just can they get enough offense outside of Madison McCarthy? because that has generally, I think, been their kind of just kryptonite, where their defense usually does well enough, but if no one else is scoring, if no one else can create their own shot, then that's just a big issue. So we'll see what happens as we wrap up here. Like we said, lots of games over this weekend, and then next week we'll get into round of 16 and everything will kind of start to normalize a little bit. Could still be on track for Wakona, Drury, Hoosick doubleheaders. Hopefully we'll be on track for Drury versus Hoosick on the boys and girls side, which would be fantastic. Thank you all for tuning in, listening. This has been Bird's Eye View, Jesse and Mike here. So stay warm, keep off the snow, and take it easy.